we have the one and only Seth Grossman, and we cannot forget Richard Summers and Seth Grossman's attempt to revive Richard Summers and all of the things that he did, and that's coming up very soon, right, Seth?
Yes, it's coming up on September 4th. In fact, anyone coming to the breakfast discussion that we have every Saturday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 at Sal's Cafe in Summers Point at Groveland Avenue and New Road in Summers Point will be multitasking. Not only will you be having a conversation, but while you're having conversation, you'll be putting stickers on postcards and stamps on postcards so we could advise the 400 people who signed up with us how to attend. It's going to be September 4th, the day Richard Summers died in Tripoli. And it'll be at the monument right by the library in Summers Point at New Jersey Avenue and Shore Road in Summers Point, right across from Charlie's. So we will be there at 4 o'clock on September 4th, and we invite anyone who's in the area. We know it's Labor Day Monday, but there's plenty of parking, and we just hope that people will come. And to defray our expenses, at 5 o'clock, right after the ceremony, we go over to Sal's, where we normally have our breakfast, and we have a nice little buffet that raises money that pays for the postcards and the stamps and our other expenses.
Sounds good. Count me in. Count me in.
Okay. You're right. It's not on a Saturday morning, so you could actually
That's right.
Come,
I can go.
By the way, the tickets for the buffet are $30, and you could pay online. We'd prefer if you pay in advance, yeah, so we know exactly how much food to have, but you could certainly pay at the door. But this morning at our Liberty and Prosperity breakfast, I'm sure there'll be plenty of discussion about Trump. And it's going to be interesting whether the fourth arrest changed anybody's mind and whether the debates among the other Republican candidates changed anybody's mind. Because as of a month ago, we from time to time take a straw poll at our group. And of our group, 72% supported Trump last time, 28% supported DeSantis. And I'm curious if that changed. And, you know, one of the things that comes out is it's possible to believe that Trump is being treated unfairly, that he's being persecuted, that the charges are garbage. You could believe that to be true, but you could at the same time believe that he's not the most qualified person to become president and that maybe Ron DeSantis should be president with the nominee instead of Trump. So I'm really curious to see how opinions changed or if they did change. One thing I think everybody agrees on, that first New York case against Trump was absolute garbage. And probably that indictment did not really change anything that much. And the other three are also pretty weak cases. But the real problem is not so much whether Trump committed a crime, but whether he showed poor judgment and whether that you know, should make you know, somebody think that somebody else is better qualified to be president. And that's really what the discussion, I think, is going to be this morning and for the next couple months. And I'll just give one example. If you're driving through Longport, I don't know, have you ever driven through Longport?
Yes, yes.
Okay, they have signs all over that say 25 miles per hour. Very often in the middle of the winter, you're the only car on the road. There's nobody there.
Yes.
In Summers Point. Nobody on the sidewalk. Do you still go 25 miles an hour?
I don't. No.
You probably don't. And most people don't. And actually, you have a stop sign there, you know, to Atlantic Avenue and a red light. Most people sort of just roll through the stop sign, roll through the red light. Now, a second thing, if you're driving through Longport in the middle of winter, and everybody else goes a little bit faster, everybody else stops at the stop sign, if you see a police car parked to the right with the officer in there looking at you, would you still go 40 miles an hour?
No.
Would you still run the red light? Would you still run the stop sign? And the answer is you wouldn't. And I think that's the analogy as to what Trump basically, you know, did. I mean, he knew everybody was out to get him. And yet he, you know, allowed people who were with him to do things that may have been technical violations of the law. And, of course, everybody else did it. But If you're using good judgment, would you do it? And I think that's going to be the test that Republican voters are going to be looking at. Not whether a crime was committed or not a crime, but whether you're looking at good judgment or bad judgment. And I think that's well. Let's see if I'm going to get chewed out at the meeting just for saying as much as I said. But
okay.
But that, I'm sure there'll be a lively discussion. The other thing that's going on, and I guess the top story, is really the illegal invasion of foreigners in this country. When you look at the video of New York and these other towns where you have thousands and thousands of these so-called migrants, you know, mostly young men, but you have other people from foreign countries who we know nothing about them. We are supposed to have immigration laws that say you can't enter this country unless you are within a certain quota. We limit the numbers because otherwise, we'll be overwhelmed. And, if you look at what the Democrat historians, they talk about, blacks in Africa became slaves because the Democrats say in the historians say they became slaves because the Arabs and the Europeans were racist. But Thomas Sowell, the black historian, gave a much more obvious answer. He said blacks in Africa became slaves because they were unwilling or unable to defend themselves. And that's what happens. If you cannot defend yourself or you don't want to defend yourself, you will become a slave. The American Indians lost their land, according to Sowell, not because Europeans were racist. They lost their land because they could not defend themselves or would not defend themselves. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the guns. So as our country is invaded right now, what are we doing to defend ourselves as a country? What kind of life are you giving your children and grandchildren if they become a minority in this country? And if the majority who are running the country believe that they are poor because European Americans or white Americans or Christian Americans or Republican Americans rob them of their wealth. So therefore, it's okay to use their votes or actually use violence, use guns to just take their stuff. Just walk into a department store and take what you want and dare anyone to arrest you and say, don't arrest me. I want that stuff. I mean, what kind of country are we turning into if we can't defend ourselves against it? And the real problem comes down to someone who came and warned us at our Liberty and Prosperity meetings. He spoke to us twice at our fundraiser, a guy called Michael Cutler. He said the key to immigration, the key to defending your borders, has nothing to do with borders. Because no matter how high you build a wall, someone's going to get through. And someone's going to go in through the airport, and someone's going to overstay their visa, and someone's going to land in a boat. The key is to whether you have a secure country depends on whether you are willing that to check to make sure that everyone living in your country is here legally. And if they're not here legally, you have to arrest them and detain them and send them back to the country they came from. Can Americans do that? Do we have the will to do that? Are you willing to watch a family get arrested for being illegally here, taken to a detention camp, put on a plane, put on a boat, and send back to their own country? Or when Americans see the TV image of crying children, of neighbors saying what wonderful people they were, will they say it has to stop? And, one of the sad facts about, when Trump was president, during the first month he was president, we were systematically enforcing our immigration laws. And then suddenly we had those TV images, and suddenly, and I don't know who gave the order, but the order did come down that illegal immigrants in America would no longer be deported unless they were guilty of committing other crimes. And the minute you send somebody the signal that they could stay illegally in this country as long as they don't commit other crimes, then they're going to have all their relatives come over. The word's going to be out. Just get to this country any way you can, and as long as you keep your nose clean for a couple of years, you'll get amnesty and you'll stay. And what's the point of having immigration laws? So the real question is, do we have the will to defend our country? And, you know, I have our question, and I'm surprised that in all the TV debates and all the TV discussion, maybe I missed it, but did you see any political leader anywhere saying the only solution is not giving these people jobs, not giving these people housing, but if they're all here because they're seeking some sort of asylum, let's appoint judges, let's get early hearings, let's get them to their hearings, and if they don't qualify, send them back to the country they came from. I haven't heard anybody say that.
Neither have I. No, neither have I.
So that's what's going on. Back to Richard Summers. I just want to say briefly when that why that event is so important. There was a time when Richard Summers, who came from Summers Point, was such a well-known hero that every school child in America knew who Richard Summers was. They knew the war that he fought in. It was called the Barbary Wars. America fought against people called the Barbary Pirates in 1804. Why? Because when American ships sailed to Spain, France, Portugal, or Italy, they were attacked by Muslim warships from North Africa who robbed and captured them and sold them as slaves, stole their property. Now, this was shocking and new to Americans, but these Barbary Pirates had been doing this to European Christians for 1,000 years. In fact, they even sent their warships to Iceland, Greenland, and Ireland to capture female slaves because blonde, blue-eyed women got the highest prices in the Arab slave markets. Now, of course, Americans knew nothing about this, and when we were a British colony, we didn't have to worry about it because our ships were protected by the British Navy, and the British government was actually paying tribute or bribes to have our ships left alone. But as soon as we became independent, we were no longer protected by Britain, and then these Barbary pirates started attacking and enslaving Americans. And then we, at first, Americans for 15 years, we didn't have a navy to protect the, our people, so we also paid bribes every year to these Barbary pirates to have our people left alone. And then, of course, there came a point when Americans said, millions for defense, not 1 cent for tribute. And we decided to build a navy, and Richard Summers of Summers Point was one of the first Americans to join that new navy. And we'll tell the rest of the story on September 4th. But I just want to give your listeners an idea as to what's going on.
And you've always kept Richard Summers in the forefront of your discussions. And you're to be commended for that, because I didn't study him in history, so I didn't know who he was till you came on my show. So you're educating us as well.
And of course, we're finding out about why you never heard of Richard Summers with this calendar project we did. As I mentioned, we for the last 2 months, we've been working on this project to tell the story of successful people in South Jersey who were free and how they used the opportunity of America, what they called the boundless opportunity of America, to have these successful lives. And we drew our material not only from regular history books, but every person who grew up in South Jersey has probably gone to the funeral of a grandparent or an uncle or somebody we knew. And when they're doing the eulogy, it's like almost all the stories were the same, whether you were black, whether you were Italian, whether you were Irish, whether your great-grandfather or grandfather came from the farms of somewhere in the Midwest or Appalachia. It was always, we came here with nothing. We got married. We worked hard. We saved our money. We bought a house. We bought a business. We succeeded. And now we have a very comfortable life. The idea of America as the land of boundless opportunity, or in the Germans would call it das Land der unbegrenzten Möglichkeiten. And of course, so one of the reasons our calendar has not come out yet is that we are getting a grant from the state, and the grant is requires us to deal with the historians, and the historians are quibbling. They're saying, why are you using stories to promote the motto of liberty and prosperity? And we said, when you give money to a black group, they're going to talk about Chicken Bone Beach. When you give to a Hispanic group, they're going to give to a historic heritage. I said, if you believe in diversity, you know, shouldn't we have a history that explains why liberty and prosperity are important? So we're quibbling with this. And probably one of the things that was annoying, when we did the story of Richard Stockton, we talked about how he was betrayed by Tories. You know, they were the people who sided with the British. He didn't want American independence. And he was put in prison and left, you know, given starvation wages and kept for 3 months in a in the winter in an unheated cell, and how it broke his health. They objected. We used the word Tories. They said, well, you should use the word loyalists. We don't want you to use the word Tories. So we're arguing about that, but it just shows how many of the history professors in our school just simply hate America, and they're teaching this to our children. So this is like an accidental effect of the calendar project that we're doing.
I bet you're sorry you got a grant.
Well, no, in a way, I'm happy we got the grant, because if we just did our history, we would just assume that who would object? Everything we did is documented. We use different sources. They forced us to have a... This is the first historical calendar with footnotes, by the way, thanks to the state, where we actually name all of our sources. If you don't... I'll give you one other example. They objected. There's a city in New Jersey called Greenwich, and it's in Cumberland County, and that's where... there was a after the Boston Tea Party, you had a British ship didn't want to land in Philadelphia because they knew everybody would probably have another tea party in Philadelphia. So they went to this quiet town in called Greenwich in New Jersey, and they brought their tea there. But the local farmers were just as angry, and they, you know, took the tea and they burned it. So we had our own little you know, tea party in Greenwich, New Jersey, but the people were so angry that their name Greenwich sounded British that from that point on they started calling their town Greenwich. So just like, you know, Buena may be the name of a town anywhere but New Jersey, it's Buena here in New Jersey, and it's Greenwich in New York and Connecticut, but it's Greenwich in New Jersey because they change the name. And you talk to anybody in Greenwich, they'll tell you this is why we pronounce our town differently. And yet they said, well, where are your footnotes? Where's your documents for that? So this is why the calendar project is a little bit slow. But anyway, it's 9:30. It's time for me to go to our breakfast meeting at Sal's in Summers Point. And if you want to know more details of all the stuff I didn't get to talk about, it's posted at libertyandprosperity.com. And if you like what we're doing, please make a donation, because we need the money for postage, postcards, and to sponsor, you know, the John DeMasi radio program. So thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Seth. LibertyandProsperity.com is the website. Seth Grossman, of course, headed to the meeting at 9:30. Sal's Coal Fired Pizza every Saturday at 9:30. It is Talk with a Purpose. Speaking of every Saturday 9 till noon, right here, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.